Exercise 3, page 47. Listen to what happens next time Eric comes close to achieving tenderness. Answer the questions.
Then, enter the señorita, who awakened all his desires and made him ache with his old longings. The facility was a co-ed institution, but males and females were not allowed contact with each other. According to the rules, that is. They shared the same cafeteria and gymnasium and athletic field, but never simultaneously. They caught swift glimpses of each other on occasion, and the males were quick to call out to the girls, yelling obscenities or variations on what they would like to do to their female counterparts, in language that made Eric turn away in disgust. The raw language of the facility offended him. He did not use such words himself. Harvey, as bad as he was, had never sworn, and his mother had blessed herself whenever she heard anyone using swear words, especially that word beginning with F. The F word was as commonly used in the facility as salt and pepper on the dinner table. Eric had never used the F word. Prisoners at the facility learned to eat quickly, because mealtime sessions were only 45 minutes long. Males first, females second. A 15-minute interval between the two sessions allowed the cafeteria to be cleaned up and prepared for the arrival of the girls. Eric supervised the prisoners who cleared the tables, wiped them clean, and swept the floor. Eric saw the señorita for the first time at the end of the cleanup detail. He was about to leave after a final check of the job when the door to the female side opened unexpectedly and a girl walked in. She was tall and slender, long black hair cascading to her shoulders. Their eyes met and held until the guard's voice intervened.
"Hey, you, out!"
She blushed furiously, which deepened the beauty of her dusky skin. "My first day here," she apologized, a gentle accent softening her words. As the guard waved her away, her eyes sought Eric once more. A pang tore at his heart. Longing overwhelmed him. Did he see longing in her eyes as well? He found Sonny Boy at his side, leering.
"Hey, the Iceman's falling in love."
Eric gave him a withering look, and Sonny Boy faded away. Eric realized for the first time that he had picked up a nickname like everyone else. Iceman. That night, her face appeared before him when he closed his eyes. That low, sultry voice echoed in his ears. Even in the drab facility uniform, she had been vibrant in her beauty, a contrast to the other girls in the place. She made him nostalgic for places he'd never known, calling to his mind sun-baked squares, cobblestone courtyards, a hacienda sleeping in the shadows. That was the moment she became the señorita for him. He caught sight of her occasionally in the next few days, glimpses from his window as she strolled to the ball field, as she left the gym, always the last one to depart. He lingered in the cafeteria after the cleanup, hoping to see her again. Once or twice she entered, but always with a group of girls, although she looked his way once in a while and their eyes spoke to each other. He turned away, the pulse in his temple beating wildly. The old longings were more intense than ever before. He tossed in his bed at night, spent restless moments pacing his cell. He was scheduled to be released soon, but how long would she be a prisoner here? He hoped it would not be long. Sentences could be as short as a few weeks, even less if a prisoner was simply awaiting an appearance in court. He pondered, taking steps to get in touch with her. Communication between prisoners was always possible through a system of messages left at certain locations, like the cafeteria or the gym. A trustee, known as the distributor, collected and delivered messages. For a price, of course. The price was whatever prisoners could afford. Money or cigarettes or an exchange of merchandise like porno magazines or jewelry. The distributor was quick-talking and quick-walking. Everything about him quick, especially his hands while making the exchanges. He also could arrange furtive meetings, although these were risky, with prices few prisoners could afford, and tough disciplinary action if discovered. Although he still did not dream, he'd wake up suddenly, his mind full of the sight of her, that long hair, the slim, slender throat. He'd feel his fingers trembling, as if from an old disease. He knew the disease, sweet and precious, that had been muted and slumbering these past 3 years. He resisted, however, the thought of communicating with her. He was afraid of what would happen if they met, even in this place. And his long-range plans would fall apart. Patience, he told himself. Patience. His patience ran out 3 days later. He'd crossed off another day on the calendar, 9 days remaining in his sentence. Stepping out of his room, he was startled to see Sonny Boy standing at the end of the corridor. Prisoners were free to wander the hallways and recreation areas at certain times of the day, but no one ever came near Eric. He discouraged visitors, always kept himself aloof, turned off gestures of friendship with a cold, calculating look. Sonny Boy stood alone down near the red exit sign, his back to Eric, the door half opened, his shoulders hunched forward as he looked outside. Was Sonny Boy spying on someone? Or waiting for another prisoner to come along? A secret rendezvous? Fingers trembling, Eric glided cautiously towards Sonny Boy, his sneakers noiseless on the hardwood floor. Was tenderness possible with someone other than a girl? Could the need that kept him awake at night be fulfilled in another way? Crazy, crazy, he told himself as he approached Sonny Boy. I won't do it. But kept getting closer, closer. Eric was upon Sonny Boy the way a cat pounces on a mouse. Hands around his throat, the smell of Sonny Boy, sweat and aftershave in his nostrils. Although Sonny Boy was small and thin, he showed surprising strength as he squirmed and struggled, twisting and turning, the strange sounds of survival coming from his throat. Yet Eric took his time, letting him struggle, exulting in this contact at last with flesh and bone. As Sonny Boy went limp in his arms, Eric realized the futility of what he was doing. There was no intimacy in this act, no tenderness at all. The horror of what would happen to him if Sonny Boy should die swept over him as he looked down at the boy's still face. Relieved, he saw his eyes fluttering a bit. He placed his hand over Sonny Boy's eyes, hoping that he would not be recognized. As Sonny Boy began to struggle again, trying to rise to his feet, letting out a stream of the swear words Eric hated, that terrible F-word flying out with spittle from his mouth, Eric found a way out of this situation. Leave sweet Lefty alone, he whispered into Sonny Boy's ear. Repeated the words so that there would be no mistaking them. Leave sweet Lefty alone. A stroke of genius, Eric told himself, providing a motive for the attack other than the real one. Understand? Eric asked, voice hoarse and strained. Sonny Boy nodded, then went limp once more in Eric's arms. Eric cradled him gently, looked around, no one inside. He closed the door. He checked Sonny Boy's pulse, gratified to feel its feeble movement.